Chapter 37. I wandered, amazed and appalled, through a world that made no sense. The parts that were familiar just made other parts seem stranger. My scoop was there, right where it should be, but no one was around. Not a single other Andalite. Not my father or my mother. Why? Where was I? If this wasn't home, where was it? I wandered through woods and across open fields that were familiar. But then, across a field I'd known all my life, I found a sharp line drawn. The grasses of home stopped abruptly, and on the other side everything turned brown and muddy gray and a red so dark it was almost black. On one side of the line, my own world. On the other side of the line, wild, tall, spiky grass and trees that rose only a foot tall before spreading out horizontally for 30 or 40 feet, if you could even call something like that a tree. I was startled by something that reached up out of the ground with a soft shloop. It was like a taxon tongue, almost. 10 feet long and dark red, it shot up from a hole in the ground. It seemed to lick the air in a slow, circular pattern, as if it was searching blindly for something. Then, after a few seconds, it shlooped back into the ground. 10 feet away, another such tongue. This time it reached for a beast that walked past, hunched over. The beast had 4 thick legs toward the back, and 2 turned-in legs forward, with no discernible head. The slumbering creature wandered straight toward the flickering tongue, and suddenly, fast as a tail, the tongue reached out and wrapped around the beast's hind legs. The beast let out a groan, although where that sound came from, since it seemed not to have a head, was a mystery to me. The tongue drew the beast towards its hole, but it could not suck the animal down, so it simply held it prisoner as the beast groaned. The sky directly over that dark, unnerving landscape was dirty green and veined with silent lightning. It looked altogether like one of the fantasy monster lands in fables that Andalite parents tell their little children about. I felt sick twisting inside me. I had never been to the Yerk world, of course, but already I was beginning to guess what had happened, and I was sure that this blasted, vile, and empty landscape was the Yerk homeworld. Or, at least, the Yerk homeworld as Visser 32 saw it. The Time Matrix. Where is the Time Matrix? I asked myself. It was the key. The Matrix had caused all this. The Matrix had created this awful place without logic or reason. And only through the Matrix could I escape. Morn, where is she? I looked up at the sky and saw the patches of lighter, paler blue. The blue of Earth's sky. She would be beneath one of those patches of Earth blue. I was confident of that. But which patch? The waterfall. That was the place to start. It was the tallest thing around. I turned my back on that depressing Yerk vision and ran back toward the empty mockery of my home scoop. It was hard to look at that familiar area and accept the fact that it wasn't really my home. Visser 32! It hit me like a shock from one of those Yerk lightning bolts. If I was here, and perhaps even Lauren was here, then so was he. Somewhere. Maybe within the confines of his Yerk world, but maybe not. If I could go looking for Lauren, so could he. And if he found her first? I saw the towering cliff from which the waterfall dropped and raced toward it, desperate now to find Lauren. I ran flat out. As I ran, I ate. It felt so good. Whatever else might be strange and unreal, the grass was good and familiar. And as it traveled up my legs from my hooves, I felt my strength growing. I reached the pool where the water crashed in a huge white explosion. As I drew closer, I saw that the woods surrounding that pool were split into 3 different sections. The familiar andalite trees filled a third or so, and different but still lovely trees and green grass covered another third. Around still another third was more of the dark Yerk landscape. It was all utterly impossible, of course. But still, standing beneath that massive waterfall, feeling the cold spray on my face. It was beautiful, too.
Elfingor!
I turned my stalk eyes and saw her. Relief flooded through me. Lauren, you're here!
Yeah, I'm here, all right. But Where is here?
Wait, I'll come to you. I went toward her, threading my way around bushes and trees, and she came running toward me. She threw her strong human arms around my shoulders. And even though touching is more of a human thing than an Andalite thing, it wasn't so bad.
Man, I thought I was all alone here, Lauren said.
No, I am here.
I would swear this is Earth, only look at the sky. It's all in patches. And some of those patches are very weird.
She released her hold on me, and after a second or two, I realized I should do the same. Have you looked around at all? She shook her head. It's something humans do to answer no.
I woke up over there, a few hundred feet, back in the woods. Elfingor, it's exactly like this area of the park back home. There's a park where I play softball.
Yes, it would be familiar to you. And there will probably be other familiar parts. Places you know. Maybe we could go and look around, now that we are together.
She cocked her head sideways and looked at me. You're still worried, aren't you?
There were three of us who made contact with the Time Matrix. You, me, and Visser 32. She twisted her human lips into a grimace. Then she looked skyward.
Those patches of green sky with the lightning. That's because of him, isn't it? Somehow, we made this place. The three of us. We created this place.
I stared at her in astonishment. There was no way she could begin to know about the physics of the Time Matrix. And yet, she had reached the same conclusion I had. I laughed. Maybe Lauren didn't understand the physics of the Time Matrix. But then again, neither did I. Neither did any Andalite, as far as I knew. Compared to the creatures who had created the Time Matrix, humans and Andalites were equally primitive. What do you think happened? I asked Lauren. She smiled.
You're asking me?
She shrugged.
Well, that time machine, the Time Matrix or whatever you call it, is not just like some car you drive through time. I think to steer it, you have to imagine the place and time where you want to go. I think with three of us each having different ideas of where we wanted to go, well, this is the result. Part me, part you, part him.
I saw that her eyes were staring past me. I adjusted my stalk eyes to follow the direction of her gaze. There, standing on the far side of the pool, was Visser 32. The abomination. But Visser 32 was not standing alone.